Ruben Arroyo, Riverside Agricultural Commissioner Sealer.
So, Ruben, we got some bad news as far as another HLB confirmed tree. It is in your area. What's going on?
It was a grapefruit tree. So we found one tree in a residential area that came up positive with HLB, Huanglong bean disease. Now, in that residential area, there were other citrus trees that had been grown by the owner from seed, and they were in the range of 12 years old. That is about all the history I have as to where and how it came to be and then be found. The tree has been removed, in cooperation with CDFA and USDA, and of course my office. We're trying to delimit the area within the 800 meter, looking for all host material. Traps are being set out. They've been testing additional trees surrounding the property. I know there was a tree that had not been initially tested that they did find yesterday, have taken samples and is already at the lab to confirm whether or not there's any presence of HLB. So it's a good cooperative effort between all the agencies, and it was a very rapid response. And so I'm real happy, at least on that end of it, that the cooperative effort has been positive so far.
Yeah, and that seems like that's been the case with every HLB tree that's been confirmed here in California, and that is good news. The key is that this was found in a residential area. Riverside is, I believe, this is the most north tree in the state that has been confirmed with HLB.
Yes, that's correct. And again, we do have now, once we have an initial find, there's 800 meters that's put around the initial site, and then a 5-mile quarantine is put into place. Now, within that 5-mile quarantine, we do have other properties that we are trying to locate, and of course, any host material, of course, in that area as well.
And under that 5-mile quarantine, not the 800 meter, but that 5-mile quarantine, part of UC Riverside falls into that, and also some packing houses and a little bit of production?
Yeah, we've identified some abandoned groves. We've identified some production nurseries. And yes, unfortunately, the University of California Riverside is also within that 5-mile quarantine.
This is still new. You guys are looking at what you're going to do at this point, but does that change anything immediately with those areas, or is it just something that they heighten their awareness a little bit more on keeping an eye out?
No, unfortunately, Taylor, there's, once a quarantine is set into place, all host material, plant material cannot move outside the quarantine. Now, there are some types of or methods that can fall under the quarantine that would help with them in the movement. But it's a matter of having structures in place, screens put in place to cover the plant material. And then also before quarantine is put in, there's a couple of samples that have to be made, voluntary samples to test for HLB, and those are 6 months apart. Now, I know the university had been in preparation, had been in preparation of a potential HLB quarantine, had been started that process on some of their properties there. So we'll be working with CDFA and USDA, of course, on continuing that effort and working with them so that they can continue to move plant material outside of the quarantine. But as of today, everything is put on hold within that quarantine, and that's at all nurseries, farmers markets, any host material from residential areas, and also, of course, at the university as well.
Let's go back to the abandoned groves. I did a series on this about a year or two ago with in San Diego, where they were aggressively trying to be proactive about getting abandoned groves taken care of. You're taking this same stance on this, right?
Yes. This is a serious disease that could threaten, the whole livelihood and the whole structure of Riverside County. Citrus was born in Riverside County, and my board Our county council, everyone in this county, including myself, has taken it very seriously. Under the Food and Ag Code, the local agricultural commissioner has abatement authority. You know, with the help of county council and my board, we are going to take an aggressive approach on any abandoned orchards on that abatement authority within that 5-mile quarantine.
And does that mean that you'll be treating them or taking them out?
One or the other, yes. Just depending on how, you know, what type of, you know, is it truly abandoned where there is no longer any type of farming going on in that type in the abandoned, what we call an abandoned orchard. Sometimes there may be some, you know, areas of the field that are still profitable, at least to grow, but then they've technically abandoned portions of the field. So we're going to be looking at it on a case-by-case basis, but we will be looking at any areas that could potentially harbor the disease and are not being taken care of, so we can at least stop the spread of any other disease that could potentially move outside the area.
Those abandoned groves quote-unquote dead trees can still harbor the disease and be a, you know, nesting ground for these psyllids to get the disease.
Right. It's pretty hard to kill a citrus tree. I mean, they're, you know, you can see an abandoned grove that has not been watered for years, but will still, through Mother Nature getting some sort of precipitation there, will still shoot, you know, suckers towards the trunk. And that is the green flush that the Asian citrus psyllid is attracted to. So, yes, so they can still harbor disease in a grove that has been abandoned, because a lot of times you'll still see green branches or a green root that is shooting suckers. So yeah.
Last thing here is the importance of public outreach. All of these trees have been found in residential areas. CPDPP does a good job of having a program together to reach the residents and the general public, and that's going on in your area too, correct?
Yes, we've been working with what I understand called the Crisis Center. We've had some conference calls and have been working on outreach, you know, potentials with the media. Going, you know, into the neighborhoods, utilizing newspapers and, you know, of course the press releases. So yeah, it's an all out cooperative effort on all parts.
More and more of these trees keep getting found. And I'll ask you the same question I've asked a lot of people, is we need to be prepared to that there's probably more HLB trees in California than are currently confirmed, right?
Yeah, it seems to be the case. You know, we don't have a rock solid method of finding the disease in an early detection scenario. You know, once the methods that we utilize now, as far as the sampling and the detection of it, it's not something that I think we are comfortable with in saying that, you know, yeah, we can find it if it's in this tree, and that's not the case. So we do have to be diligent in at least our outreach efforts and controlling. And, you know, the citrus industry, you know, has been utilizing their own funds to help themselves in trying to, you know, get a hold of this disease. And you know, they're utilizing those funds on all fronts, from the scientists to looking at early detection methods, and as well as an enforcement end of it through the commissioner system. You know, I was just at a meeting in the Coachella Valley to talk to my citrus growers about 100% tarping regulation that's being put into place as we speak, which is to help prevent the spread of Asian citrus psyllid by tarping bulk citrus movement up and down the state. And so I was there, unfortunately, to give them an update on HLB as I was there. So on all fronts, we're trying to slow the spread of this disease, but unfortunately, you know, now it's come into a production county. But again, thankfully, it's in residential area. But I think, just from how we've seen the spread of it, the psyllid is still moving, and unfortunately, it's moving with the disease as well.